When a show tells you they're going to go woke, when they tell you they don't care what you think about that, when they tell you don't bother watching it, then why are they all of a sudden surprised when the ratings are low? Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude. It's been a few weeks since I've done a Red, White, and Rude, and that is on me. I actually had a show in the book or in the can, as they say, but when I took a look at it, it was terrible. So I've gotten caught up with a little bit of traveling since then, but I'm back. And I opened up with, why would a show tell you it's going to go woke, tell you to get lost, and then all of a sudden they get shocked when the ratings aren't there? Well, the show I am talking about is none other than the great British sci-fi classic, Doctor Who. Oh my goodness. And I'm chuckling because Doctor Who is a classic. Doctor Who is arguably one of Britain's worldwide anchors in terms of what it's known for with broadcasting. So, a little bit of a reminder, Russell T. Davis, who is a showrunner, who is not the creator of the show, but what did bring it back in 2005, to everyone's amazement, to everyone's shock, and to everyone's enjoyment. He told us this offseason that the Doctor Who, that the upcoming season was going to focus on progressive messaging, specifically queers and transgenders. I say queers. When I was growing up, queer was not a proper politically correct term to use. Gay was. But now I'm told there's a difference. Words always change, and leftists always love to be the victim of something. And then next thing you know, one thing that they're the victim of is all of a sudden normal. But let's get back to the topic at hand, and that is Doctor Who. Doctor Who has been going woke since Peter Capaldi era. That was like three doctors ago. But let me backtrack here. First of all, Doctor Who was created way back in 1963 by Sidney Newman, C.E. Weber, and Donald Wilson for the BBC, not Russell T. Davies. I get sick and tired. It happens a lot in Hollywood. They'll adapt the book. I use the Alan Ball example best because Alan Ball adapted Charlaine Harris's Sookie Stackhouse, a wonderful vampire series, and at the opening, every intro created by Alan Ball. He didn't create anything. He adapted a world, a universe created by another individual. And it just bugs me that they try to steal the creator tag. And this happens also in comics. I remember back in the 80s, I started seeing remakes of like the Justice Society, a big hit from the 60s or 40s, co-created, and one of them was Rich Buckler, the artist. And that bothered me because you didn't create anything. You took a series, you kind of updated it, revamped it, but you didn't create it. So that's one of my pet peeves. That's nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about here, but it's just a damn pet peeve I have. It's like, do your own work, create your own being. So kudos to Sidney Newman, C.E. Weber, and Donald Wilson. The show first aired in 1963, and it's become a significant part of British pop culture. There was a period that it wasn't on for a long while. And again, I think it was sci-fi in 2005. I was a big sci-fi fan back then before the advent of streaming. I loved my 6 o'clock, 9 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Western time B movies. The sci-fi would always show a brand new B movie they would create. And it's just silly, stupid fun. And the reboot, I think, aired first on sci-fi. And then I discovered more episodes or newer episodes as it came down the pipe on the BBC America. So, who is Doctor Who? Well, first of all, the show is a sci-fi show. It's known for being very imaginative storytelling, and it's an iconic character called the Doctor. He's a time lord who travels through time and space. And for y'all sitting there, oh, kid show, no, sci-fi. Arthur C. Clarke, First Contact, Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Star Wars. Sci-fi is just a genre. And Doctor Who, he's an extraterrestrial who's part humanoid, and he's from a species of time lords. And now, what I'm telling you, they're changing. They're purposely changing it to queer it up, to transgender it up, to make it work in Russell T. Davis's eyes and how he wants to see the Doctor moving forward. And you have to understand, Russell T. Davis is now an older man. He's successful, rich. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't care who he upsets and pisses off. And right now, I mean, the UK is literally taking over. It's like Europe's going to fall here, per some analysts. But the UK is terrible, terrible for the political correctness. And this is part of that. Now, the Doctor travels through space and time in a time traveling spaceship called the TARDIS, which is a British police box. The TARDIS adapts to where it's at, kind of a chameleon type shape, to wherever it lands, so it can't be discovered. The problem here is the TARDIS got stuck in the form of a British police box. It's one of the little acute quirks of the show. So ever since 1963, it's always been a police box, woo, going around, around, around. Now, obviously, the Doctor's going to combat foes. He saves lives. He liberates oppressed people, and he always has companions. Now, I have it. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, but just to let you know, Doctor Who is a very progressive show, but there's progressiveness, and then there's hate, which they say is they're just being progressive. But what they're doing today is driving hate and bigotry and shoving it down our throats and saying everything we believe in is racist and bigotry and wrong, and we're colonialists and this or that. No, we're not. They are the ones with the bigotry and the hate. As I opened up, I was not lying. They did say, you don't like the show, don't watch it. Well, you don't tell that to people anymore, because there are 10 zillion other shows we can watch, so we won't watch. This happened with G4, the gaming company. They said, don't watch it if you don't like us. Well, we stopped watching. Boom, they were out of business a year later. And the same thing is happening with the Doctor in terms of ratings. So I discovered Doctor Who as a child. I think I was in early teens, maybe 10, 11, on PBS, the black and white shows. I don't think it was Pertwee, may have been the first one, the second or third Doctor, I can't remember. But that's how I discovered him, was black and white, and it was fascinating, the music, the sci-fi music, the acting. I mean, back then it was Star Trek for us, and the Outer Limits, and the Twilight Zone. Then there was this Doctor Who. It was so Twilight Zone was an anthology. Star Trek was a series. It was an ensemble cast built around Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. But the Doctor was literally, it was about the Doctor, and his companions had minor roles. And the first woman who was his companion, she's a screen queen, playing the typical female role. I don't mind strong females. I just don't watch shows anymore where there's a 90-pound female taking out a 300-pound guy. I just saw a girl in real life kick this guy's bag. He didn't even hit her. He just kind of like just pushed her away. Boom, she hit the ground. She's falling. She's crying, screaming, in pain and all that. And she was picking the fight with the guy, and he had had enough. So that's why I get upset at these shows that show a 90-pound woman taking out a 300-pound man, because 999,000 times out of a million, it's not going to work. It's just not how real life works. So I don't mind the strong woman. I do mind the stupid woman, because that fools girls in real life that they can do this to a man and they're in for a rude beating. And I'm not condoning that, but what I'm saying is a lot of times these issues with women happen in bad relationships. They like the bad boy. Well, there's a price to pay when you go after the dumbass bad boy. You being the dumbass and being the bad boy, that's like toxicity you're asking for. So I discovered this show back in the 70s and I loved it. You know, it was great storytelling. There were lessons to be learned. And I learned a lot of my lessons in life through comics and shows like this. So the progressivism was done tactfully, respectfully to every side. And we grew as a culture. We evolved as a culture. We're not evolving right now. We're devolving into hate because it's not a country. We're not a country here or in Europe, the various countries there, where we're realizing, yeah, we got to come together. No, it's trying to be shoved down our throats with illegal aliens flooding the country with our taxpayer dollars being taken to task to take care of these individuals. They are asked nothing in return, and we continue to foot the bill, and we're still footing the bill more at the cost of our veterans, at the cost of housing, at the cost of everything. And that's where Doctor Who's at right now. This indoctrination has began with Hollywood and whatever the UK calls their Hollywood. But in essence, what we're doing, it's a mirror image. What they're trying to shove down and forcefully put down our throats, they're also doing in real life through government. So again, it was a great lesson in growing cultures and people coming together. Every side was respected without condemning anyone, their culture or religion. It was what I would call positive progressivism. You know, Doctor Who was always progressive and silly in many ways, but like the original Quantum Leap that came out in the 80s, again, all stories dealing with culture, gender, race, and religion were done with class and respect to all parties. And that's how you grow. You know, I said it in my Points on the Board podcast just the other day. You know, let's have that talk on race. The left doesn't want to have the talk on race because having a talk on race means everything comes to the table. There's nothing off limits. But the left wants to tell you, this is racism, and if you disagree, well, you're the racist, and that's not a talk on race. So let's have the talk, baby. Come on, anybody. Contact me, and we'll do a show, you know, because right now with the left, it's about condemning everyone who disagrees with them. So when people, you know, people have said Doctor Who, when they push back against people like myself, well, it was always progressive, William, and I just covered that. Yes, you're right. It was progressive. But you're lying by implying that today's progressivism is the same as it was, you know, oh my gosh, 50, 60, 50, 40, 30 years ago. No, 20 years ago. The last 10 years, it has, the last 15 years, it has become weaponized. And you're now finally seeing pushback. You're seeing pushback in sports with Caitlin Clark and how Democrats and black supremacists and black racists all want to look at us and go, it doesn't matter if you're Latino, Asian, or white. If you don't agree with us, you're a racist. Well, we're pushing back. You know, I talked about sociology, the human nature. Why is it okay for every culture to follow human nature, to follow sociology, anthropology 101 pretty much, but not for Anglos. See, so I fight for every side that's oppressed because I am a Latino. I come from a family that's made up from black all the way to white, from poor all the way to well off, rich, I guess, from straight to gay. So I will fight for anybody within any group that is being oppressed, you know, and people don't like that. You know, William, you're taking a risk. So I don't care. You know, the day I die and I meet my maker, he'll judge me, not you. And again, I'm looking at my notes here. Like most other behind the scenes writers and producers, Russell T. Davies, the current showrunner, the guy who rebooted it, deserves a lot of credit, but he views himself as a creator of the series since he brought it back, and he's not. Now, the last two doctors, one is David Tennant. It was his, he was a doctor before this current one. You know what? Let me grab a pic of this guy, David Tennant. Let me go grab a pic of him here. And we are back. And let me grab this image here for you of David Tennant. Here's the last two doctors here. Where is it at? And there we go. That is David Tennant. David Tennant is on the left. He was the last doctor. And this individual is the new doctor, Nikuti Gatwa. So this David Tennant's the Anglo, obviously, and Nikuti Gatwa is the new doctor. David Tennant was arguably the most popular doctor with the reboot. I love them all the same. I love him and Chris Eccleston the best. They took it to a serious level and a door-oriented level. Nikuti Gatwa, the guy on the right, is the new doctor. He's a leftist. He's queer. He's progressive. Nothing is queer enough for him. You know, and David Tennant supports that. You know, he lied and said, well, in the 70s, we went through this. No, we didn't. We did not go through what's happening right now in the 70s. You know, I remember that era. And I remember the first hate crimes. I looked at my father and said, well, what happens if hate crimes happen to straight people? You know, eventually, what happens if hate crimes happen to white people? My dad kind of looked at me like, well, we're going to find out because you know it's going to happen. And the government and the police and everybody ignores it. The only type of hate crime that can be committed is white against anybody else, whether it's a queer, whether it's black, whether it's Asian or whatever. But there are hate crimes performed against Anglos. So David Tennant is just a damn liar by saying we're going through this again. We're not, you know, but that is who David Tennant is on the right, on the left, and the new doctor Nikuti Gatwa on the right. David Tennant played the doctor spectacularly. He's a decent actor. I wouldn't say great, but decent, you know. I'm a tough critic. So what are the show's new goals? It's a progressive messaging. It's heavily focused on progressive themes and social political commentary. And this is what Russell T. Davies said in a Rolling Stones interview. So it's not like anybody should have been surprised. Peter Capaldi was a doctor a couple of doctors back. And let me grab a picture of him real quick. Share screen. I'm getting pretty good at this now. That's Peter Capaldi. That's when I stopped watching. This was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer. And I just stopped watching the show. It just was no longer very exciting for me. Oh, actually, you can't see him. There we go. There's Peter Capaldi. And that's when I stopped watching. But the show was already going woke at that point. And then they brought in Jodie Whittaker. Let's get Jodie Whittaker up there so you can see who she is. And that is Jodie Whittaker. And then from there, David Tennant, who I just showed you, came back for his second go round. And that's how we got to Gatwa. You know, so now you're caught up with who the last doctors were. But Peter Capaldi started the wokeness, and that's when I stopped watching it. And it was depressing for me. It was a beloved show. It was it just brought back great childhood memories, and the stories were still good. I just couldn't stomach it anymore. I have a true passion for equality, having been born and raised in Panama as an American citizen, seeing the inequality that dictatorships brought, and it was based off of money. They didn't care. The dictators didn't care what color you were, who you were, etc. It was about class. That's what we're fighting now, but they're pushing color to keep us at war with one another. So at the end of the day, that was that's my reasoning for who and what I am. So I couldn't stomach it anymore. The ratings started to drop with Peter Capaldi. It's natural for ratings to take a dip the longer a show is on the air. But in this case, it was also because of the storylines. They were terrible. They weren't very good. And then Jodie Whittaker came on with her doctor, and they dropped even more. Now, what made this terrible for Gatwa is because the show was already dropping. Not only is he queer, he's also black. And look, I won't be the first to tell you, there is racism in this world, but it's nearly non-existent in America compared to what they want to tell you. The data proves me right. So I'm not sure how it is in the UK, but Gatwa being black did not affect the show as much as him being queer and publicly telling people to F off if you don't like that, and you don't like the queer messaging, if you don't like the queer storylines, if you don't like the transgenders we're going to show in this series. He's just like, take a hike. That's what the issue is about. Yeah. You know, and so Nikuni Gatwa was casting the first Black actor to portray the Doctor, emphasizing the show's evolution and inclusivity. I buy that. No issues with that. No issues whatsoever. But this is the issue I have. Queer representation. Both the showrunner, Russell T. Davis and Gatwa talked about their queer identities, how they were going to use that to purposely influence the show. Davis' specific goal now that he's older is to bring this progressivism, this wokeness, this queerism to the BBC with the BBC's blessing. So regarding the writing and the queer themes, if you're not writing that in 2024, what on earth are you doing? Unquote. That's Russell T. Davis. Well, what on earth am I doing? Well, if I'm a writer, I'm writing a good quality show that people actually want to watch, Russell, not crap I want to shove down people's throats knowing they don't want him, knowing parents don't want their kids. And that's the other issue is this is a show that transcends demographics. There are people who are in their 80s who watch Doctor Who from its inception who enjoy it to this day or used to, you know. But when you start focusing only on queer themes, you're going to turn off most of your audience. And Gatwa claims it's evolving. No, it's not. As a heterosexual, that's not evolving for me. I've always known about queerness, about gay, etc. I also know that's not the majority of the country, of whatever country you're in. So to sit there and shove that down as if that's normal and the majority, no, I don't agree with it. I accept queerness. I accept gayness. Doesn't mean I want to shove down kids' throats because I believe there's a right time and a right place for everybody to understand the reality of the world. I mean, that's just how I look at it. So queer versus gay. There is a difference. No, queer and gay are not the same. So a brief explanation of the differences. Okay, so gay typically refers to a person who is sexually and or romantically attracted to people of their own sex or gender. It's often used specifically about men who are attracted to other men, though some women also use the term. It's funny, society has not accepted gay men in terms of seeing them in action, for lack of a better word. But there's the male fantasy of a woman with another woman. It's just that's how society works. So that's why when I looked it up, I wasn't shocked to see it written as it is often used specifically about men who are attracted to other men, though some women also use the term. There's a reason it was written like that. I cleaned it up a little bit. It was longer. I needed to shorten it, but kept the gist of it. Queer is a more general term that can refer to a person who has a sexual identity that isn't heterosexual or a gender identity that isn't cisgender. It's also used as a reclaimed term of pride by some members of the LGBTQ plus XYZ, double B, double A, double Z, whatever the hell you want to call it, the alphabet. Comedian. Yeah, I do mock it because, you know, they just keep adding to it. You know, so yeah, I do mock that. You know, but so let me repeat that. It's also used as a reclaimed term of pride by some members of the gay community, but not all, as its history as a slur makes it controversial for some individuals. Like I said earlier, there was a time queer was a bad term for people like me to use because that's how society deemed it. Not anymore. I just talked about Black and queer on the Points on the Board broadcast in terms of the WNBA. But all this, so there is a difference. What I don't know and I don't care. It has nothing to do with respect or not respect. It's just the pronouns, the system. They throw all this crap at us. I don't care. I just don't freaking care. So to me, gay and queer is going to be one term. Well, you're disrespecting us. No, I'm not. You're disrespecting me by trying to force me to learn every other term. I can sit there and name my hair here, my hair there, and have you. You better respect my beard hair from my eyebrow hair from my head hair. I mean, that's how silly it's gotten with LGBTQ plus crap. Wham, you're mocking it. You're not respecting it. No, I respect the person. I don't have to respect an academic or an activist who says you better respect this term, that term, this term, that term. No, no, not going to happen. This going woke and the controversial elements of it all is bad enough. So Russell T. Davis went on to talk about the new season is actually almost over, but it would include topics like transgender representation and women's reproductive rights. There's a transgender child. There's a lesson in pronouns for the old doctor before he changes into the new doctor. There's female reproductive rights. Yeah. And when all this came out, all this was happening, even to this day, there's nothing but foie praise, you know, and that foie praise is taking on another tone on social media through bots. Foie praise meaning it's not really being praised. There's just certain media members or certain things that are highlighted as showing it as being praised. And let me show you what I'm talking about here. Oh no, where are you at, Screech? Here we go. So this is a foie praise. On the right-hand side, Jinx Monsoon is breaking boundaries and slaying the game. And there's 10 zillion X accounts that show the same thing. But the reality is they're fake accounts. They're just trying to generate interest. That's it. Here's another one. And I apologize. Somebody put this together and I should have grabbed their damn handle and I did not. But look at this, breaking boundaries. Jinx Monsoon, the iconic drag superstar, is making history once again as the first drag artist to join the cast of Doctor Who, from winning RuPaul's Drag Race twice. You know, so this, what I just read to you, is being spewed out by various accounts. They're not real accounts. They're what you call bot accounts. It's fake. So they can't even, there's not even enough love for what's happening. They have to go fake it. So that's what I mean by foie praise. You know, he's earned praise from critics, the new doctor, from woke organizations, acting peers, and the BBC. He's earned nothing but contempt, the new doctor, from fans. However, those pushing for the LGBTQ won't back down despite what I'm going to talk about here shortly is a big ratings drop. Those driving transgenderism and those grooming children, the grooming of children, point to the fact the series is not what it is. And what do I mean by that? Well, on Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter has it with a 96% approval rate with a perfect 100% on its debut. In reality, its audience score is a miserable 27% rating. So those driving the show are lying versus people who actually are watching the show. And they're doubling down on the hate. They don't care, right? They introduced a transgender character. You know, it's just more anti-male hate. And the transgender character is called Rose Temple Noble. The goal of this character is, one, to help with the transitioning of grooming children into accepting this transgenderism as normal, and then to encourage them, as we're seeing here in the States, and to convince them, oh, it's okay if you're a transgender too. That's okay. And the second goal is to destroy male masculinity, the good old toxic male masculinity. Now, you're thinking, wait, what are you talking about? They're showing transgender to normalize it and to make kids want to be transgender. Let me tell you a story of a man and woman who happened to be husband and wife. And they had two children. One of the children was a girl. The other one was a younger boy. Well, the younger boy came home one day and said, wanted to be a girl. Well, instead of running to the doctor looking for puberty blockers, as Chase Oliver, the Libertarian nominee for president, wants, is okay with, which stunts growth, slows down the reproductive system growth on both sides. I mean, do you want your son to have a little wee willy there, you know, because of a puberty blocker? No. Do you want a woman, your young daughter, to have issues with being able to conceive because of puberty blockers? No. You know, so, but they're okay with that because they're using this transgender role, this Rose Temple Noble character, to normalize it and for kids to accept it and to want to actually begin their own transgender journey, for lack of a better way. So let me finish my story. A couple, heterosexual couple, they had a girl and they had a younger son. The younger son comes home one day, says, "Mommy, Daddy, I want to be a girl." However, before they run off to go pick up their puberty blockers at the local CVS, yeah, I'm being sarcastic. That's not how you get it. They sat the young boy down. You know what that young boy told them? That young boy told him he wanted to be a girl. When it came out, they talked to him. They talked through the process of why he wanted to do this versus just believing it and going, "Oh, praise be Lord, I got a transgender kid. I'm just like Jennifer Garner or Ben Affleck. I'm just like Angelina Jolie." You know, instead of going down that road, they found out the little boy wanted to be a girl because he thought his sister was getting more attention. It had nothing to do with him feeling it, him wanting to be it. He was jealous that he thought his sister was getting more attention. But in the queer world, they would have you think, no, your son's a transgender. You need to accept it. He was not born a male. He was born whatever the hell they say, and now he's accepting the fact he wants to be a woman, a girl. That's what they want you to think. That's why they introduced his Rose Temple Noble. The show received hundreds of complaints about the characters. And why not? Parents don't want the government pushing transgenderism on their kids. Look, you want to be a transgender, you want to go from a male to a female, female to male, that's fine. Do it at the age of 18 when you are considered an adult legally. Until then, shut the hell up. That's, if I'm a parent, that's what I'm saying. And that's what most parents believe. But the schools, especially here in the States, they want to take over raising your kids. California just passed a law saying it's okay to hide pronouns, transgenders, all that stuff from parents. I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time before a murder takes place. And 90% of the country is going to be okay with it. I would. You don't mess with a parent's kid. It's that simple. And we do know Europe's all messed up. We had to bail them out not once but two times in the world wars. I have no respect for Europe from that perspective. They're on this whole socialist rant, this progressive road, because we pay for their defense. They don't have to pay a damn dime. So they put all this excess money into taking control of your kids to raise them, and they wonder why, as a continent, Europe is literally on the verge of being taken over by refugees that they welcome over and over and over, and they're destroying their own tax base to support these individuals who have gone on the rape, the are skyrocketing because it's a different culture. Women are looked at differently in those cultures. We don't realize how good we have it here in America and in Europe in terms of you women until you go to other parts of the world. But instead, we're bringing those parts in the world. There are videotapes to immigrants from Europe, from the Middle East, saying, "No, you cannot rape women in Europe." I am not lying. There are videos out there, state government or government-sponsored videos, to try to tell immigrants that. What kind of world are we living in? So back to Doctor Who. You know, as in the States, the UK is looking to government to start raising and taking over your kids, and it weakens them by indoctrinating them, not teaching them how to critically think, and being subservient to the state. In America, whether you're a Black woman or Latino woman or a poor white woman or whatnot, the government here tells you, you don't need a man. They're toxic. We're your man. We're going to be the welfare state for you. That's what they've been pushing. and it's just exponentially increasing. So, ironically, while they do this, immigrants from violent and religious sectors of the world are taking over. And look, I was born and raised in a fundamental family. You would think I would be okay with this, being a man, the man being dominant, etc. No, I'm not. I'm not. Why? Because what we're seeing is literally the extermination of Christianity, you know, and that's not good. That's not good. And the irony of all this is they sit there and say Christians and whites are the most violent people, but yet they're using violence to bring this aboard. That's what bothers me. So Russell T. Davies' own words, he wants grooming. This is what he said, quote, "In coming back, I wanted to make it simpler and I wanted to make it younger," unquote, younger. He wants to go after the kids. That's what he's saying. Quote, "Those two things are often not discussed. You read reactions to it and people are missing that," unquote. That's how he explained it. But he said it. He wants to go to make it younger. He wants to go after our kids. Quote, "It's simpler and younger and it's working. The under 16s and the 16 to 34 audience as well is massive. It's not doing that well in the ratings, but it is doing phenomenally well with the younger audience that we wanted." He's talking about the ratings for the show are really going down, but he's happy that the ratings for the younger kids are up. Here's the issue with that. They're not the buying demographic. He's looking to indoctrinate them. That's all he's looking to do. Russell T. Davies wants to indoctrinate your kids. He wants to groom your kids. He wants to give your kids to pedophiles. That's what he's saying. This is, again, the transgender. I talked about the transgender queen, Jinx Monsoon. I showed you the images of her, the first transgender. She plays a character in Doctor Who. She plays a character called the Maestro. This is what he said. "To the people who have issues, the show that you love was created by a queer person. Get over it," unquote. Well, first of all, he's lying. It was not created by a queer person. It was created by men in the early 60s. It was rebooted by Russell T. Davies. In fact, he didn't even reboot it. He just picked it back up and restarted it. So, one, that's a lie that I take extreme offense to. And also take extreme offense to a queer wanting to groom kids for the purpose of pedophilia for older gay individuals. Unquote. Ja. A lot of people are going to really love this. And I think this season is going to create a lot of new Doctor Who fans. And if we lose some of the transphobic ones, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I truly believe that for every fan we lose to transphobia, we're going to have 2 to 3 more coming in because they're excited for trans representation. The ratings, Jinx, tell the opposite. But you're right. The demo's higher with the kids, but I don't agree with you. I'm not into grooming kids for pedophilia, which is what you want. And here's the kicker. You know, here's the real kicker. The elitists, this is a class war. It's not a people war. This is class war. Their kids don't watch the shows. They won't let them. Their kids aren't going to public schools where the indoctrination is taking place. They send them to private schools. So think about that. What you think is okay, the ruling class knows it's not, and they don't allow their children. In China, they don't have TikTok like we do here in America and the UK because they know that's useless. It's not helping further their country as a civilization. But they're okay dumping it on us. Because we're the enemy. So ratings for season 14, the latest season of Doctor Who. Now, some are saying it's a reboot and they're calling it season 1, but I haven't seen that. Let me show you the chart. Let me show you this chart here. 1 second. Let's see, where'd I go? Where'd you go? Where'd you go? Where'd you go? What's this chart called? Here we go. I want to make it bigger so you can see it better. Okay, so to explain what you're looking at here, this is the current season of Doctor Who. The overnight ratings are obviously, you understand that. Then you have the plus seven. Those are people who DVR'd it, taped it, and they're watching it. And then the plus four screen is the DVR. So episode one, 2.6 million. Now, this is when your primary, your top paying advertisers are watching this or have paid for commercial rights here, you know, so they can advertise their products. Those are terrible numbers. Those are terrible numbers. 2.6 million. All of it put together, 4 million. You know, you go right down the line, 3.91 million, 3.58 million. That was their worst performing episode ever. 2.04 million, not even 2.1 million, but 2 million didn't even hit 4 million total. Worst performing episode ever. The following one, it got a bump up. 2.62 to 4.0, it hit 4.06, so 4.1 million, I guess you're rounding up. All the leftists, all the woke people, all the queers, all the gays, all everybody who wants to shove progressivism down, every transgender who wants and gay person who wants to groom your child for pedophilia, they're like, whoa, look, it's improving, people. We're on the way up. You bigots, get out of here. Then the following week, 2.1 million. It dipped back below 4 million. It even dropped even worse, the 2.11 million, episode six, 3.5 million total. Then 2.02 million, episode seven. We don't know yet what the total count is. You know, they wait for that. Empire of Death. That is the final episode for this season. Only 8 episodes. That's the other thing. You don't do only 8 episodes with a hit show. You try to squeeze as many as you can out. And they did with Doctor Who. But it's getting lesser and lesser and lesser. So we don't know what the final two episodes are going to bring. But 2.02 million for the second to last episode. What's that tell you? Nobody cares about the show. It's dying a slow death. But hey, the ratings are up with the young kids. Yeah, well, I'm not sure that's going to last long enough. And I'm sure a lot of these parents are going to keep their kids from being groomed. Let me reiterate. Ja, a lot of people are going to really love this. And I think this season is going to create a lot of new Doctor Who fans. Jinx Monsoon. Well, Jinx, actually, it hasn't. Bigotry is your belief. You know, because acting is meant for others to enjoy. And if they're not enjoying them, you don't attack them and destroy your base. And those dependent on this job. See, that's the other thing with these losers, these progressives. They're well off. Their actors are doing well. But you got everyday camera people, everyday script writers, everyday casting people. You have a lot of people who are dependent on their show to feed the family. And you're playing politics. They're going to be out of a job. And it's because of you. You don't care. It's all about your ideology. It's all about pushing your bullshit on people. It's about this grooming, about this pedophilia. That's what you care about. You're alienating the everyday person, the normal people, the people who don't want to see kids abused, who don't want to see grooming. You're alienating them. They're not watching the show. And the people who need these jobs, they're going to be out of a job. We don't care about transgenderism, but we do care about grooming and forcefully transitioning children by making them believe they want to be a different gender. Here's the thing, people, that we forget. These are minds that can be easily influenced. Again, look at that one example I gave of the child, the little boy who wanted to be like his older sister, not because she was a girl, but because he thought she was getting greater attention than he was. So he assumed it was because she was a girl. had nothing to do with they've discovered who and what they are. These are children's minds that can be shaped any which way. Did you know the human brain does not stop growing until you're like 24, right around there? So even at 18, when you're considered adult, you really still are growing. These actors and this Russell T. Davis, they don't care. Excuse me. And Russell T. Davis stopped caring a long time ago. So the new doctor, Nikuti Gatwa, he showed up in the 60th anniversary special, which it was right around November, December of 2023. The 60th anniversary special was called The Church on Ruby Road. And it was with Nikuti Gatwa and David Tennant. It drew 4.73 million viewers, 7.5 overall. Now, you look at those numbers compared to the current season, 2.64 million, 2.2, 3.9 million, 4.06, 3.38, 3.52 millions. Those are total numbers. 7.5 million. It blew those numbers away. However, here's the kicker. Gatwa had the second worst debut of any actor who's portrayed Doctor Who. So while that 7.5 million dwarfed anything from the latest season, it was still the second worst debut. Jodie Whittaker, the female doctor, she had a viewership of 11 million. Peter Capaldi, 9 million. This was back in 2014 before streaming. And I would imagine 11 million is not including those streaming numbers neither. Matt Smith, he was the doctor after David Tennant in 2010. He was a doctor after David Tennant before Peter Capaldi. He drew 10 million. Tennant, the one I showed you with Gatwa, he had 7 million, but he was a guest star at the end of Parting of the Ways in 2005. His first episode on his own, The Christmas Invasion, 10.8 million. The only episode that Gatwa's debut beat was the very first episode of Doctor Who with Will Hartnell as the first doctor in an unearthly child, all the way back to 1963. I would wager a bet before anybody who is watching this or will watch this was even born. I wasn't born back then. He had 4.4 million. So let's go back to the image I want to show you, because this is very interesting. Here. Oops, wrong. Sorry, people. Give me a second. Let's take a look at that again real quick. Total. We'll look at the total numbers here. 4 million, 3.9, 3.58, 4.06. It took a little bump up. 3.38, 3.52. Notice the trend, people. Notice the trend. The trend is downward. You can't make this up, and there's a reason I say that. Because his debut was the second lowest from the very first appearance of Doctor Who. 4.4 million. So, the repeat. The only episode that Gatwa's debut beat was the very first episode of Doctor Who with Will Hartnell, who played the first Doctor back in 1963 with 4.4 million viewers. Now, as I showed you, Nikuti Gatwa is turning the wrong way. Hartnell's Doctor would see his viewership increase. And let me give a little hat tip here. All this information I'm giving you right now, I got from Doctor Who. Actor Nikuti Gatwa blames racism for viewers abandoning show. I got this from a website called thatparkplace.com. Thatparkplace.com. In fact, so let's give this guy his due. Thatparkplace.com. That's where you will find all these rating numbers. Right there. You see that? That's from a different site, but he had these numbers and the older numbers too. So I apologize. This is from the Doctor Who TV site. But he translated these numbers and went a lot deeper and a lot more heavier research. So where was I? He started trending up. Again, 4.4 million viewers, episode one. Episode three, or episode two, 5.9. Episode three, 6.9 million. By episode seven, it was 8.9 million. After episode eight, 9.9 million. That was episode nine. Episode 10, 10.4 million. The show was extremely popular. People didn't know about it. They discovered it. Boom. So the he beat one show and that's it. Everything else has gone negative. And obviously, let's give him some credit. The overnight numbers are the most important because that's where the big money different advertisers come in. They're paying for the initial showing. That's when you're going to get the biggest bang. Everybody else is kind of like, they'll watch it to this episode at this time, at that time. That's the problem with DVRing or now streaming. But the big money comes from those paying for the overnight advertising. And if that falters, this show's going to be in trouble. Because streaming, you're going to get lesser advertising money. It's kind of like the internet. My website back in at the turn of the century, I was ranked in the top 2,000 of the world, but there's no way I was going to get TV numbers. I mean, we were playing 12 million different people per month, but they weren't paying us what TV would get. Well, we would blow some of these TV show numbers out the window, but it's a different industry, different medium. So the numbers aren't the same. And that includes today's streaming. Those you're not going to get as much for advertising and streaming commercials. As you will overnight. So is the streaming numbers going to be strong enough to sustain this show and keep it going if the overnight numbers keep dropping? Not likely, but hey, it's the UK. That's taxpayers' money. The British Broadcasting Corporation, you British are paying for that. It's not a private company. So maybe they're going to say, screw it. It's the taxpayers' dime. We're into indoctrination more than we are actual viewers. So never say never. I believe it should be canceled. You know, right now they're trying to destroy Christianity in the UK, and the key is to weaken the culture into submission. And you do that by continually putting on trash like this. So the elites may continue the show because it's government-run bureaucracy, and the BBC is not a private venture. However, their lifeline is Disney Plus here in the States. But Disney itself has been hammered, and they've been hemorrhaging subscribers, and their subscription base has not grown. So who knows? Disney is a private company, and the rumblings have been going on now for years, about how their content is hurting their profit margins. The under 30 demographic, look, y'all don't get is the under 30s, they don't buy anything. Those overnight advertisers want the demographic from the 30s into the early 50s, because that's where all the buying power is. So this is a real big dilemma. You know, this is what Russell T. Davis said about the under 30. The audience, quote, "The audience no one ever gets are the under 30s. They just don't watch television anymore. But those figures are astronomical for Doctor Who. It's their top program in that bracket," unquote. They're not the buying audience. So there's a dilemma there. Indoctrination over private companies who actually want to make a profit. Eventually, the private companies will win. Disney's learning that. So I don't see this Disney Plus relationship lasting long. It's through next season. There's going to be two seasons of Nikurigawa. And then they haven't renewed it for a third season. And look, season one was at 8 episodes. I wouldn't be shocked if you're looking at just specials for season one. That's not true. They've already wrapped up season 15. But there's also something called the Audience Appreciation Index. Let me tell you about that. Okay, here we go. Okay, that's kind of small. Let me make it a little bit larger for y'all. No worries. I've gotten this down to a science now. I had to pull this from my notes because there's also something called an audience appreciation index. It's an and it's based out of a score out of 100. And it's just doing average at best. Let me break down the scoring criteria here. So let's see. Okay, so over 90 is considered exceptional. Yeah, there's no over 90 there. Over 85 is considered excellent. 60 or less is poor, and less than 55 is very poor. So in essence, from 61 to 84 is average. This is the last eight episodes, the Audience Appreciation Index. This is hard info to gather. It took me a while to find this. But episode one, average. Two, average. Three, average. But it's a 76. As you see, 82, 81, 76. Then it bumps up to 83. Then back down to 70. 71, 68. The quality is dropping because they're becoming more and more bold with their bigotry, with their transgenderism, with the fact they want to groom your kids. They are making no secrets about that. So what can you say? You know, you got to look at it from the perspective of it is what it is. It's a show that's dying is what it is. Now, the Doctor Who Christmas specials, they were 84, 82, 85, 82. They weren't as woke. They were already becoming woke, but they weren't as woke yet. As you can see that, the audience, the specials, these are the previous Doctors, with the Christmas special being the one with David Tennant at 82. As you can see, that wasn't well received. So the show is dying. So what do they do? Instead of looking to improve the show, they attack the viewers. Criticism and response. Showrunner Russell T. Davis and cast members have dismissed any criticism on the show's progressive themes. And they're saying, if you don't agree, you're transphobic. I'm like, screw you. Or as Nikuti Gatwa says, quote, I don't want to diminish racial aggression at all, but for me personally, I find it fascinating that it matters so much to these people. You are going to limit yourselves from a show that you love because you don't like something about someone's appearance. It's just like really sad for them. Well, Nikuti, you're a freaking liar. We don't care. We have embraced people of color, actors and women, whatever vein. What we don't like it is you shoving it down our throat, saying if we don't like the show, you're a racist. See, so all of a sudden he plays, the woe is us black people, or the woe is us Latinos, I'm Latino. Oh, the woe is us women, oh, this, right. He puts it from a victim perspective, or somebody coming from it from a, I just don't understand. Cultural appropriation is something black Americans just really started harping about 2008 with Obama's blessing. According to Al Sharpton, everything in this world has been created by black people. So everything's cultural appropriation. You couldn't do anything without somebody claiming it's theirs, white person. You can't have it. You're stealing it. Then safe spaces. Safe spaces creates hate and segregation because it's just only one culture allowed. It's blatant racism. They're really pushing that hard here in the States. So when they do this, it's there's a small segment who's not going to watch it because Nikuti Gatwa. No, I'm not watching it because I'm tired of the woke crap. And I stopped watching it with a white actor. A white actor. I stopped watching it with a white actor before the woman, before the black guy, you know. And screw you, UK. Where's my Latino, baby? We need a Latino doctor. I need somebody to go, ese, get into the darkness, man. Oh, yeah. We're going to take this darkness across the border, brother. Oh, yeah. Oh, so screw you, Nikuti. I don't care. I want my Latino. The true face of racism is Nikuti Gatwa. He's lying. It's about forcing Anglos to state they have white privilege, just like the WNBA is trying to get Caitlin Clark to do. White privilege is you admitting you are a racist and you have to make up for that. It's about becoming subservient to every other culture. Nagani, he doesn't stop there. Quote, you don't have to be excellent or aspire to that term, black excellence. What the hell? There's so much white mediocrity that gets celebrated, and black people, we have to be absolutely flawless to get half of that anyway. At least here in the United States, that's a damn lie. We have celebrated many, many people of color. Is there a small segment? Yeah, but there's a larger segment, statistically speaking, of other cultures that condemn through racism and bigotry anything white. So it's funny how you want to look one way. My whole take is, my relatives, again, they go from black to white, straight to gay, poor, that you will never, ever understand Americans and UKians. Ukrainians, idiots is what I call them over there. I'm not a fan of the UK. We bailed their asses out twice. They are a shell of what they were, and yet they think they still have relevance. You know, their relevance in my eyes, Doctor Who, a TV show. Woo! You know, but there are plenty of black and white mediocre actors and others in various professions that get chance after chance. He made a racist, bigoted comment there. He won't get punished for it. Somebody else, they would. I believe in equality. He's a racist piece of crap to have said that. Forcing Western nations to put the sins of the fathers on everyone else, whereas every other culture's sins are rationalized and ignored and not held in the same esteem as you hold others, is wrong. To force Western nations to pay other cultures for transgressions that were part of the world and yet do nothing to countries creating similar transgressions, that's racism unto itself. Well, let me translate. To sit there and force the Western world, to sit there and go, you got to financially pay us, or you got to sit there and say you're racist, and we're going to deal with your transgressions. Those transgressions were part of how the world worked back then. Every country from the Africans who sold the slaves, they loved the white man's money. Come here, man, I got somebody for you. Got this book here, you know, who sold it to the whites who bought them, to the Arabs that bought them, to the blacks who bought them. That's how the world was. But since they only put that on whites, and there still is slavery today, and they did nothing by these countries, or they're still murdering. Now in South Africa, they openly kill white people. The government has come out and said, oh, it's okay, or people working with the factions of the government. And do nothing about that? No. That's why you're getting all this pushback. That's why you're getting all this hate. The only winner are the elites. Doctor Who is a vehicle for the elites that have us continually fighting amongst each other. My take is simple. Equality is equality. We have to all look in the mirror. I'm more than willing to look in the mirror. Are you? I know a lot of my brethren Latinos aren't. I know a lot of blacks aren't. A lot of Asians are. They only want one culture to look in the mirror. The Anglo culture. Until we all look in the mirror, we're not ever going to come together and move forward to civilization. You know who wins? The elites who want us fighting at each other's throats. That's what I get so angry about. Why? Again, I'm like a broken record. Grew up in Panama, protected class. I was an American citizen, but I saw my relatives scared shitless because they could be murdered, taken in, never seen again by the dictators at hand. And those dictators used class. It was the rich versus the poor. And nothing to do with skin color. Think what they're doing to us. So again, Doctor Who is about the indoctrination and the government taking over the parents' roles and removing parents out of the picture of raising their kids. It's not about someone's appearance, Gatwa, but about the grooming and eventual transitioning of children that you want to normalize. To take parenting from the parents and let the state do it. That's what you want to do, Gatwa. To create self-loathing towards one's culture when it suits another's white privilege. To create hate toward one culture simply for skin color. Here in the States, they tried to get Asians to jump on the hating white people, and it backfired. The data started coming out. It wasn't white people with the hate crimes. It wasn't white people that were forcing Asians to lose their seat of acceptance at a university and give it to a person of color who didn't warrant it because the Asian had scored better on the test scores, was a more qualified person. They wanted to do away with that and give it to people of color who weren't qualified. That's what the new doctor represents. He represents all of that, you know, taking parents from raising their kids, the self-loathing in one culture towards themselves, the hate toward one culture because of skin color. You know, that's what this Gatwa represents. Gatwa is knowingly lying, playing, and hiding behind the race card. And what they hate right now is pushback. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do a video like this. I could have. I would have been ostracized. Now it's like people are finally seeing the light. Well, he's not racist. He's just actually using facts, using data, using the culture, you know, to sit there and analyze the data and then to present it. Nikudi Gatwa is a true face of racism and bigotry. You think someone who came from an oppressed country that his family had to flee with him? He would embrace everything about the Western world that's allowed him to live the life he has. And he's living better than the average person in the UK. You think he would appreciate this considering where he came from? Instead, he embraces the hate, bigotry, and racism. He and his family fled Rwanda. There's something called the Rwandan genocide. His belief tells me that if he had been on the side of the Hutu militias that killed anywhere from 500,000 to 1,000,000 Tutsi, Hutu, and the Twa people, they were the minorities of that country, or in the minority. The Hutu militias killed them all. He is right now siding on their belief system. The people his family fled from, those are the ruling class in the UK right now. In terms of the ideological belief, the authoritarianism, that we're going to raise your kids. No, we're going to groom your kids. No, you're the evil, vile ones. That's what the Hutu militias were all preaching over there to take out the Tutsi, Hutu, and Twa people. Nikuti Gatwa would sign with the people he fled from. Think about that, my friends. Think about that. And I'm going to leave you with that, because at the end of the day, Nikudi Gatwa is representing oppression, hate, bigotry, racism. In a nutshell, he is representing authoritarianism. He is part of that ruling class. They are using him as a tool through Doctor Who to take our children from us. And we can't allow that. We cannot allow that. You can find this podcast and other podcasts like it, whether they're political or libertarian podcasts or sports podcasts, and our political podcasts at grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find us on all the various social media handles at YouTube, Rumble, as well as traditional podcast outlets, Apple, Google, Pandora, Spotify. We are under the handling at Grumblings Media. You can find us at those outlets under, the handle Grumblings Media and at grumblingsmedia.com. My friends, do not forget to like and share. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a fan. And until next time, I am William Del Pilar. This is the Red, White, and Rude, and I bid you adieu.